Welcome to the Working Dog Depot Podcast with your hosts, Rich Harden and Howard Young.
All right, Howard Young, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, buddy. How about you?
I can't complain. It was episode 36 today.
Yes, it is. We are bringing a guest back for a second time, which we have never done. This is fun for us because some of the feedback we got on the last one was very good, but folks felt like we were just kind of scratching the surface on some things. So we are really pleased to bring Hans Verbruggen back.
Hi, guys.
Hans, back. How are you, sir?
All good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward. For me, it's also the second time that I go to the same podcast again. So, I'm curious.
Nice. Well, I think this one will go equally as well. I can tell that you're at home from the background.
Correct. And,
So I know you travel a lot, but I'm sure it's nice to be home.
Doesn't mean that I have vacation. Huh? We don't do vacation here.
That's true. That's true. So I think we got to just dive right in. We dropped a couple seeds along the way regarding markers in the last episode. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's where we should start. And I think one of the things that you pointed out is that there are all types of markers. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that all your dog has to do is watch you during the day, and he's picking up on the cues, which in essence are markers. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. For most of the people, most of the dogs that live together with the people, for myself, my dogs live outside. And very rare. And I have to say, the older he gets, the weaker I become, I think, because time to time he's allowed to come inside the house, and I would never do that. So, I don't know. But he gets
you have a soft heart. Older.
And, I don't know. He gets away with it somehow. The good thing is he don't like it in the house. So that's my good thing. That's my luck. But for dogs that live a lot with people together, they have, in fact, nothing else to do in general than watching people. So that means they know exactly when husband or wife will go, when the children come home, and so on and so on. When you go outside, when you, I don't know, start to cook, etc., etc. So everything is a certain cue for the animal. Mm-hmm. Cue marker, they know what will come. They know when something good can come, something not so nice can come. And these things we can use in our training. And if we want to train quite correct or honest, I would say, also in the past, people would use them by accident. They didn't knew that they gave a marker, and it can be very stupid. You put a training jacket on at the car, you put other shoes on, and so on and so on. So the dogs know, it's a cue, we're going to start to do something. The in your world, the police people put the how you call that? Sirena?
Siren.
Yes.
Siren.
Siren on. So the sound, and so on and so on. Dogs know exactly what will happen. Now, if we use these things in our training, then we can go a little bit deeper and further because we can catch little moments that we like or not like. And in both ways, we can mark that and something can follow. If it's something that we like, we give something extra. What they like can be food, can be a bite, can be a ball, can be a toy, whatever you want, or attention. When they do something that we do not like, we can still give a marker by saying, no, watch out, whatever you want. Or the same with the clicker on the unwanted behavior, and then something unpleasant can follow, or something can go away what they like, or we add something light and pleasant. So in both ways, we can train. But that also means that we non-stop can take pictures from behaviors. And we take pictures from behaviors, the things that we like, okay, this is good, this is good, this is good. Please next time improve, do it better, do it maybe faster or accurate, or just do something by being active. And we want that, we want to see this, continue with that. If you train like that, you have a certain, or you create a certain language with your dog. And the better your language, or the more you can speak with the animal, well, the more you can explain, and the more you can afterwards demand from the animal. Now, demanding is one thing, but we need to go to systems or to training ways where we can demand without feeling that the dog have a certain pressure. So that means that we need to go to self-rewarding behaviors, or the behaviors that they do, we want, and they like to do it out of fun, out of pleasure, and so on and so on. And that's why markers can be very, very useful.
So for you, when you're starting, that clicker, for example, has no significance to the dog until we give it purpose, we give it significance. How do you choose to do that?
Hey, folks, we're proud to have Hold the Line Canine Conference as a supporter and sponsor of the Working Dog Depot podcast. Joe Lukowski and staff are already securing vendors and presenters for the seminar in April. That's April 9th, 10th, and 11th in a brand new location. That's right, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We are especially excited about that. It's going to cut our travel time in half. And there's nothing like being in the Carolinas in early April. That's Hold the Line Canine Conference. We're very much looking forward to being there and hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Like you guys know, I'm a big fan from Bart and Michael Ballon, their NEPOPO system. And how we do that is we give in the morning and in the evening our daily food. So you have 100%. In the morning, you give 40, 45, a little bit less than the half of the ball. In the evening, the same. And we just give our marker. Is it now a click? Is it with your tongue or with your fingers? Whatever you want, little whistle. And we just give the ball on the floor, on the ground. And that you do 2 times a day. So in the morning, 40, 45%. In the evening, 40, 45%. And you do that for 1, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, whatever. And beside that, you do a lot of socialization. And you take your little dog or your adult dog to the city center, to the shopping center, to the train station, airport, whatever you want. So a lot of walking and seeing and feeling and so on and so on. But do not think about training. Think about a preparation from a tool. And then later on, after the 2, 3 weeks, then you just let your dog run in your garden, in the forest, whatever you want. You're gonna use your marker that you have prepared. Same clicker, tongue, the finger snap. And your dog will run to you like crazy. Turn around, fly around. Run to you, and then you can start training. Then you can start to use it. If your little dog or your adult dog say, no, sorry guys, but not today, then you cannot use your tool. So you can only use your tool when he's ready to use the tool, when he understands what to do with the tool. And then you can start to work. What I do is I prepare different kind of markers. That doesn't mean that with different kind of markers, because that's also a system for other people, that a marker will announce the reward that will come. I do not do that because I want that my dog become a little bit a gambler. And I do not want to announce from before, you will get food, you will get the ball, you will get a green ball, you will get a turf to bite and play with. No, you get your marker. I announce that something will come, what you like. And then, well, it will be a little bit the gamble of what will it be? One piece of kibble, 5 pieces of kibble, a little bit of meat. 20 pieces of kibble, I don't know, a ball, and so on and so on. So that's a little bit the idea behind it and the preparation.
So it's like the person sitting at the slot machine, pulling a lever, and they don't know what's coming. Could be a ball, could be... So clearly one of those things have more value to the dog than the other. You just want him to anticipate that it might be the thing that they really, really like.
Well, that's one thing. And on the other side, you also prepare your dog to give different values of rewarding. You do something so-so, you get paid so-so. You do something extra, ordinary, okay, then we give you a lot more if we want activity and repetitions in the dog, or from the dog, sorry, from the dog. Another thing what you also prepare is the switch from the food towards a ball, towards a helper, towards maybe a civilian bite, because that's also a big problem. And you guys know that better than I know. Dogs, when they think about biting, well, they will have a big problem to switch to obedience again. And then they don't know what obedience means anymore.
Right.
Now, if you prepare your dogs from a young age, go, it's like an elevator, go up, go down, go up, go down, a little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit more in drive, and so on. Okay, back to your one piece of kibble, for example. So the dogs start to switch drives. Mostly it's still prey drive, prey and play drive. But the dog will adapt immediately. I need to learn to think. Not only do, also think what I'm going to do. And then you can later guide and push your dog much deeper into your wanted behaviors. So that's the idea a little bit. And that's why I also am a big fan of it. You can communicate way better with the animal.
So along the way, where are you starting to raise your level of expectation about the dog actually doing the behavior you want?
That's for every dog different. So it doesn't mean, and that's always a nice conversation, oh, I have a dog from 6 months and he know nothing. And then you have a dog from 3 months and I do everything. Does that mean that I have a stupid dog? No. Does it mean that I have a bad dog? No. Does it mean that the dog need to have a little bit more time? Yes. But that's okay. Eh? Like I think I said it the last time also, I never saw in sport world or even in the real world championships from puppies. I never saw that. And then the next thing is, how many from these puppies will survive when they are 4, 5, 6, 9 years old? You don't see them anymore because mostly or often the puppies are burned. The brain cannot handle and then they collapse. So a puppy need to be a puppy, but you need to prepare them for the real world. So when the dog start to anticipate and can do better, and one time he do by accident something phenomenal, and then you know, aha, now we can guide him and we can push him, pushing by, let him do. And we push him a little bit further into the wanted behaviors and so on and so on and so on. So it's pushing without pushing. Difficult to explain.
So our last episode, I mentioned that I was starting with a brand new dog.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were going to be checking were obviously environmental stability. Mm-hmm. And that was really what he did phenomenal with that. So we really began to work in earnest on some things like narcotic detection. So what I do is I set up a situation with a small room, about maybe a 10 feet by 10 feet room. And it's just me, the handler, the box, which has a hole in it, and the odor, which is inside. And I will man the clicker, and the handler will have the food. And I free shape the activity, meaning he gets close to the box, click pay, the criteria begins to increase. And most dogs pick that up very quickly. Now, I will give the prerequisite is that they have to have good hunting behavior before mm-hmm. they start that. Otherwise, they'll just turn and look at the handler mm-hmm. and expect to get paid. So they have to understand that hunting is what leads me to reward. So we start working on that box. Now it's hard not to compare one dog to another. And it's funny, I heard you say in the last episode, referring to a dog being as stupid as a stone. Well, that kept popping in my head because this particular dog comes in the room and he has a habit of spinning. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be in drive, but he is in drive, mm-hmm. because it should be a moderate level of excitement from my perspective. There are no moving parts. There are no balls flying around the room. So he shouldn't be super, super activated. So it's taken him a little bit more time than usual to figure this game out. You know, he'll go now to the box. This is just three sessions in, but he'll go to the box and he'll put his nose in the hole and get clicked. And he comes back to get paid. And you would think that he's going right back to the box. So he takes like two steps back to the box, and then he does a big circle. And then another big circle, because he's not convinced that is what's getting him paid. There must be something else here in the room that is of value to me. At least that's my interpretation of what I'm seeing. And the handler's kind of looking at me like, is he broken? I mean, is this normal? And I said, well, it's not necessarily normal, but he will get it. He will figure it out.
I sorry to interrupt, but maybe for this dog, and I think for this dog, it is normal, because does he know a marker? You don't know. At what level does he know a marker? You don't know. Does he know free shaping? You don't know. Yeah. At what level is he teach from the way of thinking? Or did they, for example, because I know you will select dogs for the biting quality also. So means a young dog that have bitten a lot, they are not always busy with shaping. They are busy with higher drive, and something will follow. I need to bite. So is your dog broken? No, he just do what he has learned. And in fact, he do a very good job in his way of thinking.
Yes, that's a great way to look at it. And I think that's a great observation, because we were doing a similar activity, mm-hmm. where we have a big washer in a box. So we're teaching the article indication. Well, I discovered that he can't do that in the same room that there's a bite table.
Yeah, then he's addicted to the table. And then, you know,
Yes. It was kind of an epiphany moment when we realized that why he's so distracted.
But that also means that, now I need to be a little bit careful. That if you like it, that you're doing a fantastic job. I will start with a good thing. If you don't like it, you need to change your way of thinking from your selection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you also know that, or my experience is, the only big problem that we all have is fighting anticipation and controlling the dog. And controlling the dog means controlling the nerves, controlling the drive and the behaviors, of course. Here in this example, your drive go up, your table is there, and the dog cannot think anymore. And then often, and that I also hear from agencies, we bought a green dog. Yeah, but the green dog is not so green anymore, because in the litter, everybody want to sell their puppies, what is normal now, and in 6 months or in 3 months, another litter, and so on and so on. So what they're going to do is they have the 6 week, 8 week, 9 week old puppies, and nonstop they're going to teach the puppies or work with bottles with stones or a bamboo. And a little bit pulling, and a little bit fighting, and a little bit maybe biting, and so on. And the green dogs are not green anymore, because you reinforce nonstop behaviors. And that's the behavior that the puppy has from 6 weeks till 1 year. And then he will go to you guys, and you're going to shape him for a washer. He don't know a marker. Mm-hmm. He don't know what shaping is. And maybe he never saw in his life a washer neither. Mm-hmm. What can you?
No, it just requires a tremendous amount of patience.
And the dog will never ever, and that I'm 100% convinced from, because his first language is biting, and he will never ever be as neutral to switch nonstop. And that I saw because in our sport, so the sport that I do, as an MVBK sport, most of the people, they only start to train the dog when the dog can bite, because our main thing is biting. Now, the dogs behave mostly in the sports over, we give you a certain type of pressure and you will fight through the pressure to get your bite, because that's your first language. Instead of, that is the way of thinking that I like for the last maybe 15 years. We're going to teach you to think. And yes, we do a certain bite to see if you have the natural quality and maybe the, hopefully also a little bit genetics and so on. When you show that you have it, then we go further with the bite, but also with the, mostly with the obedience part. An obedience part is everything on lower drive that is a certain shaping, a certain learning, a certain nose work, and so on and so on. If you work with young dogs, I think the best is that you start with nose work from the start and the rest will come. But when they know how to use the nose from the start, well, that's their first language and they will never forget it anymore. And the brain stays open. That's my opinion.
You're making way too much sense.
Maybe it's too simple.
No, I just think that we've probably created more problems than, well, I say we, I say the industry in general is not, if biting is your first language, but it's really not the first thing, that not your priority, it makes no sense for that to be your first language. Our bread and butter, our priority is really the nose and detection first. Mm-hmm. I mean, if so, makes sense for us to have dogs that haven't been exposed to maybe a tremendous amount of biting, but more hunting. Mm-hmm. And hunting with their nose or doing free shaping activities. Well, because we all know that biting becomes first and foremost in their head. That's what they want to do. Hey, folks, we're excited to tell you about one of our new sponsors. That's Ray Allen Manufacturing. Ray Allen has been making canine-related products since 1948. Many of you recognize the name Ray Allen with being synonymous with quality canine gear. Both Rich and I have been ordering equipment from them for years. My now adult sons have shared with me that some of their childhood memories involve seeing Ray Allen catalogs at home. That's right, folks, catalogs that came in the mail before the internet. Over the past few years, we've gotten to know some of the faces behind the scenes and have come to appreciate them for who they are. We've also enjoyed the banter back and forth. I've been the subject of at least one prank. It's relationships like these that are icing on top of the cake when it comes to doing business with a company. When searching for canine-related gear, seek out a trusted name in the industry. That's Ray Allen Manufacturing. For a 10% discount, use the WDD10 discount code. Thank you.
But the next thing is, we think that the dog is a strong dog because we see it or saw it on a video or even on a training and so on and so on. And he gets, and then that's the other way of thinking. He gets a lot of pressure, but maybe he gets a lot of compulsion also, punishments. And we think, wow, it's a strong dog. Maybe the animal just doesn't understand what he needs to do. And because of that, it's not pressure anymore. It's just non-stop reinforcer that you give and you make him harder. And then the perfect trained dog that you can guide with a little bit of help in a positive and a negative way, that's then an average dog that people say. But that animal need to listen nonstop, what is also a certain kind of focus and so on and so on. But that's an average dog. So I think, yes, in the industry, our way of thinking is not always honest against the animals. Eh? We think, or the most people think people-wise, what we need, but we do not think dog-wise, how we can get there.
So I would like to step back into Howard's scenario a little bit. So when you're looking at being able to switch gears, you know, say once he hits the street and he gets a bite, but then after the bite, he has to go back and search the car for detection.
Correct.
So how is he going to lessen that anticipation of going to the car and getting a bite?
Well, that everything goes over obedience and everything goes over controlling the dog. So it's not important how you get there. It's important for me. How did you prepare your dog to get the bite? For example, you have your dog, the same dog that you have now, and you put him in the empty room, one box. You have already a problem that your dog is in the room with a box and a biting table. That's not even in the real world. So you know what will happen in the real world when a few seconds ago, another dog passed there, or a cat, or a rabbit, or whatever you want. Yeah, nothing will happen. A lot of chaos will happen. But then you can choose, okay, maybe we take a younger dog. And now I'm going to kick a lot of people against their legs. Maybe you take a younger dog. And what you're going to do instead of working your dog with the box in the empty room, you go to the city center with the same dog with the box. And if your dog can perform just one-tenth of or 10% from the wanted behavior in the city center and can earn everything there, well, immediately he will adapt to real life. And real life is the training. And everything is real. And for sure, for you guys, you don't need to train in a room. You need to train in real life, because that's what he need to do later on. And if he can switch there towards a ball, towards maybe a sleeve, towards a civilian, and so on, then you can go and let him work. But if you need to go from an empty room just with the big problem table, then you can say, yeah, but in real life, we don't have a table. No, that's true. There you have real bites. So the drive still go up. And if your dog will work there, then he will work. It's normal. He's used to it. Take your box, go to the zoo, and so on. Let your dog work everywhere from the start. And if you don't want to work, well, he don't get anything.
Right.
Not withholding something, because we offer when he wants, we offer, give. But also you need to be aware that your expectations, sorry that I need to search for the words, your expectations need to lower down a little bit, because you need to teach him what winning is. And you also need to teach him what losing is.
Mentioned in the first episode, you referenced a dog being free in the head. Can you talk about that a little bit? What do you remember the context?
I don't remember the context, but I know what I mean with being free in the head. A dog that for me is free in the head is a dog that can switch up and down, and he is not blind towards a prey, a ball, a bite. You tell him, and now you need to search, and he will search. And now you need to, I don't know, maybe a simple follow on your leg, and he will follow. And now you need to do a bite, and he will do a bite. Now the question is, do you guys need a free dog till a certain level also? But you also need to have your balance a little bit more to the biting way instead of the searching way. Because a dog that will search will not protect your life. And you need a dog that is a little bit, the balance need to go a little bit to the biting way. But you need to control everything, that he can go after the bite for a search. And that he also say, it's good, I'm happy. But if your dog that didn't, for example, that don't go to the box yet, and then you put them on the table with a little bit of pressure and a little bit sound and a little bit yelling and so on and so on. Yeah, and later, after that, you put them in the car, he cannot switch. So then immediately you need to put a dog into a certain work. Maybe, for example, you throw a few pieces of kibble into the grass, find your food again into the grass, that you need to close your mouth and that you need to use your nose. And little by little, slowly, you teach your dog immediately from the biting table, close your mouth and found your food into the grass, switch. And then later, take a ball and then to food and so on and so on. And that's just an example.
Yes, that's good. I was also In all fairness to the dog, I did not teach any significance to the box, meaning that I've seen people that will just use the box and they will just throw in pieces of kibble. Mm-hmm. Well, to me, that's I'm not knocking that. I think that's just a step I didn't take. So it's assigning significance to that box. So for the dog in the very beginning, it's completely neutral to him. He doesn't even have a history of, oh, when I go to that box, I can get reward. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. But at the end, that's not the most important. The most important now for your dog is that you teach him to think, learning to learn. Mm. And it's not about that he need to go for the scent. No, he cannot learn. He cannot think yet. And I think that's more important, learning to learn, instead of we go in immediately to the scent. No, let him figure out that there is something, that there is a box, that there is maybe you push him through shaping deeper towards the box, into the box, into the scent, and so on and so on. So it's not about the scent, it's about learning to learn.
We're certainly on the same page.
That came full circle there from what you described, and then he just finished it off. That's very nice. It was well put.
And that was really why I chose not to do that. I wanted him to learn the process, figure it out, mm-hmm. and gain significance to the markers. And I actually enjoy that because, you know, once he figures out that I go to that box and I put my nose in the hole, then we start working on duration. Mm-hmm. How long can I get him to keep his nose in there? And of course, you have to play with it because the next time we try to extend it out a little bit, he might get frustrated and paw at it. Well, I don't want to mark that. I want to reset it. So next time I got to click before he has an opportunity to do that scratch. And then we go back and forth with getting the exact behavior that we want. Sometimes we have to back up a little bit and restart.
That's okay. But then you're not using the whole concept that is possible.
Mm. Okay.
Because when your dog do something that you do not like, you cannot correct him later on also. So, and later we want that our dog is prepared for the moment that he will not do. So these things, we don't need to punish him hard on the scratch from the paw, but we can use a little bit of nagging feeling to say, mm-hmm. hey, when you do that, this is not nice. And it's not immediately the punishment. It's just a little nagging feeling. This is not so nice. It's like mm-hmm. the fly or the mosquito on your arm.
Right. So for folks that are listening, you're describing what would be a low level stimulation from a collar.
From an e-collar.
Possibly. Yes.
Low level or even a low tapping from the leash and so yep. on. From a pinch collar, also possible, but everything low, 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 low.
But communication, nonetheless.
That's the whole thing, communication. And that's why the dog need to know what is good. He need to know what is bad or unwanted. Bad is not a nice word. I don't believe that dogs make mistakes on purpose to say, now I will have him. I don't believe that.
You have to talk a lot of folks over here into it a little differently. They think their dog tries to screw them all the time.
Yeah. That's always that. It's always on certification day.
Look bad.
He's never done that before.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But you also never did a simulation from a certification day. And you never prepared your dog for these days. The people rely on hope. And dogs need to have hope, but the people need to be sure. Of course, it's still a dog, and things can go wrong. But if you are quite sure that the dog will do because he's prepared for it, and you have had a little bit of conflicts in your training and so on, well, the chance that he will do will rise a little bit. But that are things that people don't want to do. They rely on hope instead of the dog. Dogs don't have hope, and then they are always, please, I hope that it's not too hot, that it's not raining, not too much wind, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So you need to prepare your dog in the way of you do something good, you get something. You do something unwanted, well, we guide you that you better your behavior, in fact. Mm-hmm. And then later the correction will be also more honest because the animal understands, aha, this is what I have to do. And in fact, I know the behavior, what I have to do. So it's honest.
Yeah, I think though that when it comes to detection, there's more of a reluctance to do that. But I think the danger would be to go overboard on the correction to the point that you might deter the dog from hunting. And my thing, I guess, would be if the dog is that sensitive, then perhaps you have the wrong dog.
Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, Gold Coast Canine. Gold Coast 20-acre modern canine training facility is located in sunny Southern California and was established in 1991. Gold Coast owner Rodney Spicer was bitten by the Schutzen bug in the mid-80s, and by the year 2000, he tuttled over 20 different dogs in a variety of working dog sports, from Schutzen to protection sports. This led him to eventually work with police dogs and began selling them to vendors. In the mid-90s, Gold Coast began selling dogs directly to police agencies. To date, Gold Coast supplies dogs to over 100 law enforcement agencies and provides training to 27 agencies for regularly scheduled maintenance training in both patrol and detection. Gold Coast has founded innovative canine courses such as canine stress inoculation, prior to deployments, and reality-based detection training. They've also introduced biometrics in the selection and evaluation period in order to increase the likelihood of success. Gold Coast developed a covert detection program for the largest technology company in the world. They also provide detection services to entertainment theme parks, hotels, and special events. When you think Gold Coast Canine, think reliable, experienced, and innovative. Check out goldcoastcanine.com for more information on your next single or dual-purpose canine. Also, check out their course schedule, merchandise, home protectors, and additional services. Follow Gold Coast Canine on all social media platforms. For a 10% discount on merchandise, use the GCK910 discount code.
Or you make your dog harder. So what you don't want to do in detection work, the preparation to make your dog harder, you do non-stop in biting and protection work, mostly by accident, but you do it. So I think that you just need to take the dog out of the picture. And then from the sensitive dog, you make the dog just a little bit harder that he can. And you explain him what we do not want. You also get a correction. Now we need to have self-control that we are not searching instead of the dog, because then you're totally lost. It's about a certain behavior like the scratch, etc., etc., and not the search that you need to guide.
So when you're looking at, I guess we backed up a little bit. You mentioned a little bit about the e-collar. So how do you introduce that to one of your younger dogs or a dog that may be a little weaker?
Well, with every dog, if you have a young dog, a puppy, and you start first to teach him to like the collar, when he see the collar that he like to put the thing on. Because the same, when he do not like the tool, you cannot use the tool. And you can mark when, because you then have a marker and you can choose, do we go over positive reinforcement only, shaping to like the tool, or are we going to lure a little bit by holding the collar, put a little bit of food on the other side of the collar, also possible. Whatever you want to use. The first thing is the most powerful, of course. And then when you have the collar, then you can prepare your dog by start at number one and you push at number one and you give a little bit of food and you do that for a week, and then the next week at number two, and the week after at number three, and the week after maybe at number four, or maybe 2 weeks. You will see how the dog reacts. And when the ears are still there and the tail is still there, then you can work. And if you have flat ears and a tail under the belly, you do a lot of things wrong. And then you can choose, do we go and we work with our recollar together with the pinch collar immediately, or with the choker immediately, with the leash, I would say, or do we gonna use him in a shaping way with the positive and the negative reinforcer. So that's another possibility that you can do. And then there, it's again more powerful because you teach your dog how to learn, and you teach your dog the win and the loss. And not by punishing him, but by guiding him. Hey, the game of hot and cold. What you do is not what we want. A little bit of tap-tap. When necessary, on a leash also, to guide him. And when he stopped the unwanted behavior, he better his behavior, get the release and a marker, and then the reward. So that's a possibility. And from that, the danger is that you make your dogs a little bit too hard and too strong. That's also possible. That's also possible. And the four levels that I mentioned, or the three levels, or the two mentioned levels that I mentioned, is how I would do it. So me, myself, Hans, I would do it that way. So I always try to speak under my word. Also, when I would say something wrong, I don't attack any other people. And the levels, it's with the Martin system collar that I would use, because I use Martin system. With the doctor, it will be different.
Are you facing any restrictions where you are in Belgium with the collars?
Not yet. In 27, they will be banned. So that means for 3 years, everybody can do here what they want to do. Good or bad, no problem. It doesn't make any sense. And then in 27, then it's not allowed anymore. However, I think the police and the army get the possibility to still keep their collars and their tools. What is also a little bit strange somehow, because I work for them time to time, for some, and I think I will get the restriction, and then on the back door, they will ask me, can you help me and can you guide me? But that's typical, that's everywhere. So, but then, I don't know, maybe it will change. Like in the UK, they would say, we're going to ban everything, and still they use it. So let's hope that some people... find their brain back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
That's another story.
So I'm just going to make an observation about, I've heard you use this word behaviors. And this, maybe I'm really showing my age, and maybe, I don't know if Rich would confess to this or not. He is old as well. But back in the day, we didn't talk about behaviors in dogs necessarily when we were talking about training. We would teach a dog to do a specific task, but we didn't use the verbiage behaviors. To me, that's been a relatively new thing. And it conceptually, it makes sense. It's just not been a part of my vocabulary until recent times.
For me, it's the same, huh? So, okay. I'm already a long time into the dog world. And when I was a child, the only thing what I heard was, if I would ask, how does the dog know when he do something good? When he do not get a correction, then the dog knew when he did something good. Good. And at that time, when I was a child, it's normal. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first dog when I was 10, 12 years. I was not so nice for him because I saw a lot of bad things. And that was also normal. So that was not correct for me. Now, most and still in the let's say the old style, old type of dog clubs, it's again exercises, tasks. But the more that I am into the dog world, the more I think into behaviors, and behaviors need to lead to a task, of course. But when your way of thinking goes over behaviors, you start to think a little bit of different, because then you can also think more to, again, and I mentioned that also, the self-rewarding behaviors. What we need, but we also need to be aware that we can control them. Because when we cannot control that, then you create very dangerous dogs on the other side. And that's also something that we do not want. We want to have the dogs that want to work, but they need to be, one, under guidance, and we need to control them. We do not want, because some dogs, the stronger type of dogs from themselves, you can create a little bit monsters from them also. Eh? Mm-hmm. That's something that we don't want. And then the bad thing or the dangerous thing from it, it's not bad, it's a little bit dangerous. The smarter you make your animal, well, the more possibilities he can also figure out to do a certain behavior that we do not want. And he don't know, or they don't know, that he's wrong. For him, everything is right.
I have a dog like that.
That's a little bit of danger. So, if you make them smart, well, then they can make more mistakes. But they do not think that it's a mistake. And I know nothing, in fact, from psychology and so on. I'm a very simple guy. My English is very, very basic, so that's maybe a good thing. And like you guys know, I always did these things, one as a hobby, then as a side job from my childhood. But in fact, I'm a technician. So the good thing is I can think in structure. And a dog also thinks a little bit like that, my experience.
So the little bit that I know of the NVBK is that there is some emphasis on the quality of the dog's bite. Is it true, correct?
That's the most important thing. Yeah.
So what are you looking for? You're looking for strength, full mouth. You're looking for a pushing behavior. Are you looking for anything in particular?
Besides police dogs, Gold Coast Canine sells canine home protectors. Gold Coast Canine trains and develops top-tier home protection dogs that leverage their specialized security and protection training to keep their home and family safe. Each home protection dog is hand-selected and goes through a rigorous screening process prior to training to determine their natural physical and mental aptitudes. This in-depth evaluation ensures they have the ideal temperament and work ethic to create the perfect family companion and home protector. The canine home protectors are thoroughly trained in obedience, agility, barking on command, searching a residence for intruders, and searching, monitoring outdoor perimeters. The canine home protectors are sociable and vigilant. Their concierge service offers regularly scheduled maintenance training, annual refresher, home visits, veterinary care, and board and train while out of town. Gold Coast Canine Home Protector is also well socialized with other dogs, humans, and animals of other species to ensure they are extremely well balanced. You can think of the Gold Coast Canine Home Protectors as family companions with added abilities. Check out goldcoastcanine.com for a full list of training offerings. Also, follow Gold Coast Canine on all social media platforms. Remember to use the GCK910 discount code for 10% off Gold Coast Canine merchandise.
The whole program is quite interesting. The more I think about, the more interesting it becomes, because everything, obedience is not boring, but it needs to be flat. When you have a dog that is, I need to be flat. It doesn't need to be flat, but not a lot of dogs that, like, let's say, are jumping around there will survive in the biting because they don't have power enough anymore. So physically, they are not strong enough. And then you have a little food refusal exercise, send them from one side to another side. We have 4 jumping exercises, jump over a ditch from 3.5 meters or 4 meters, jump over hay with a ditch in front, like a long time ago in the French Ring also was, a wall, and so on. Then we have an object guard exercise with the civilian, and so punching with the muzzle, and one with the decoy, with the helper. We have 2 attacks and 1 stop attack, and search with an escort, escape, 3 attempts escaping. That's very simple, and not like in the French Ring, very simple, from the helper, and 1 handler defense. Everything from biting start in front of the bite. So when you see often a picture from look on internet, look, the dog is biting full, and you have 1 millisecond from a picture, it says nothing in this sport. Everything happens when the mouth is open and enter the leg or the arm sleeve. When the dog slides on the sleeve, less points. He need to open the mouth as wide as possible, and really like a crocodile, I would say, clack, put the arm or the leg between and be as stable as possible. Then he cannot go from the left to the right. We don't want that stitching, we call that, not allowed. So he need to hold it. And then what we like, but it's not always what we want, is a little bit of pumping bite. But pumping without that the mouth goes open. He need to push without opening the mouth. And then in the NVBK, it's the only sport that the moment that the dog get the recall, the helper need to keep working. And mostly they start to work even different. So, or they work a little bit harder. It's the only sport. Mostly the first command comes always from the helper. The out will come, but in our sport, they don't do it. And the helper need to keep working till the recall from the handler will happen. And then the dog need to out also as clean as possible. So open the mouth, turn around, go back. When they slide out, can be that you have a little bit -1, -2 points. Mm. So everything happens before the bite, 1 second before the bite, and behind the bite also. And that's our helpers are not so active. They are very passive. And the pressure from before and the pressure from after, that's in fact the biggest thing for the dogs. And also, yeah, the whole conflict in training, I would say. Because everybody know that into bite sports or dog training, when you want to have a nice bite and you had to correct before another bite, well, you will see that on the dog he's biting. And they start to stitch a little bit, and they start to pull a little bit, and they make a little bit of sound, and so on and so on. And that's something that we do not want. And that's so difficult for the dogs. And they need to switch from a little bit of aggression to prey biting, but they need to have a little bit dirtiness in their body for then civilian object guarding, for example, and so on and so on. However, more and more it also go to just a little game. It's more a game than in the past. Because the people get smarter.
They do.
It is like that. Now, the bad thing is, yeah, now sometimes from a decent dog, they can make a good dog, and then they start to still breed a lot with a decent dog, a so-so dog, I call that. And then the dog that is from nature better, but that's just the wallet that calls. But you see that with breeders also, they only breed with dogs that has big titles. Yeah, then you know enough. It's not about blood anymore. It's about papers.
So we had a dog that came out of the NVBK at our police department. And I shared the pedigree with you. And you were familiar with a couple of those dogs. But he was a very, very strong dog. Very strong.
We have a lot of bad dogs also, eh? A lot of bad dogs. It's a dog is a dog, and you have good ones and you have bad dogs. Very simple. What is quite common in the NVBK is that our dogs are a little bit later. So they are longer puppies somehow, because they develop later. They are a little bit slower into the process. And I think that's something... I think that has something to do with more stable nerves. However, also there, it's changing. And we also get a little bit of problems with the nerves and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, more pressure on younger dogs, right?
Yeah, the internet is not good about these things or for these things.
They're not.
And then you can explain bite work over the internet, but it's not the same than in real training. So... like I say, training online is it's good for a sit and a down, but when feeling is involved, you're lost, and then you have another way of interpretation. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is that people want to have things fast, but you need to give the animals the time, and you cannot force the mentally preparation from the dog himself. You cannot force that he need to do it, or they need to do that by themselves, and so on and so on. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a little bit experience.
I say that because that's what I see here a lot, is too much pressure on young dogs, and you know, they develop this conflict, and you know, then they say their dog's no good, you know, and then it's not the dog, it's just you've gone too fast, too far, and haven't given the dog enough time to mature.
That's one thing, and then we go back to our first minutes of the discussion. Well, we have then a dog that can bite, but then he cannot listen anymore.
Right.
And then you put a little bit of mostly pressure for the listening, and then you get stuck because you don't have the language into the dog, and you didn't explain what he need to do. So that's it's not good. And in our case, sport-wise, the sports go down in every sport. It's not only in Belgium, but also in France, in Holland, in every sport goes down. So that means you have less competitions, you have less dogs, and the pool is smaller. And sometimes other dogs will enter the pool and so on. And yeah, then we go again to the breeders that want to earn their money, and that's okay. Yeah? But they breed for having nice papers, and they want to sell the puppies fast and so on and so on. So it's nonstop circle. But I think dog-wise, it's not so good. And in the past, your pool was bigger, so you had to, yeah, you had to perform better.
Well, I know that it's late there for you, and we appreciate you spending another full hour with us to answer some questions. I know that it's gonna be another popular episode. It's okay for you not. You don't have to believe that. You have my word that it will be.
No. No, for me, my side also again. Yeah, it was a nice discussion, a nice talk. Thank you, both of you, Rich and Howard, to ask me a second time. And like I say, in fact, I'm not really a talker, but about these things, I like to talk a little bit.
Well, you have done very well. They've been very good episodes, and we really appreciate you taking your time to sit down with us.
That's with pleasure, then. I know. And it's always nice to speak and to talk, dogs. So if I can help with something, reach out, please.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, you guys, for following along, supporting us, and listening to these wonderful conversations that Howard and I are just blessed to have each and every day. We'd like to thank and support all of our first responders, police, fire, EMS, and our military for once again holding the line, keeping us safe. Stay safe, brothers and sisters. We love you. God bless, and God bless America.